Yeah. Awesome. Bring it on.
So how does it make you,
feel?
Yeah.
Three Men and a Feeling, we're back for this week. With me is clinical psychologist and family therapist, amongst many other parts. That's Andrew Fuller, and also educator, resolver, peacemaker, John Hendry. John, Andrew, let's talk about, it's a feeling, it's also a sense, but that feeling that you belong, that sense of this is your place. Andrew, how important is that for a good life?
Our sense of belonging, our yearning for belonging, is such a powerful antidote to all of the difficulties in life, really. In fact, all of our research on resilience would suggest that your sense of belonging is the most powerful antidote to basically doing harm to yourself, to violence, to becoming overly involved in drug use. So it's an incredibly powerful protective factor. And finding a place to belong and finding people with whom to belong is a critical life quest.
And it's really interesting. As soon as you said that, I thought there are teenagers across the world who have been in their parental home since they left hospital with their mum, and they have no sense of belonging there, and yet that is the place they've been told they belong.
That's right. And so, of course, it's the quest of any young emerging adult to find where they themselves belong, because, of course, part of growing up, sadly, is a bit of a rejection of what your parents had to offer to hopefully invent a better life for yourself, a better identity. And that's okay. That's the process of doing that. And I suppose we do live in a world where we see young people who are perhaps a bit shy of doing that, or find it economically difficult to reach out and kind of land on their own two feet.
That's interesting. I can't afford to rebel anymore.
That's right. So I've got to basically, or there's a lot more anger in households as a result of that kind of conflict going on past its use-by date.
It's a cauldron. It's a thing they can't get away from.
Well, it's that toxic mixture of loyalty and resentment together, isn't it?
Yeah. That
basically, you're loyal to your parents, you love them, but at the same time, you want to carve out your own way of being. And that becomes a toxic mix from time to time and flashpoints.
John, we've never mentioned before where you've done your education, where you've been an educator. But if you don't mind, I'm not going to name the school, but it was a boarding school.
Yes.
And so people would come to the school of high school age?
Yes.
Yep. So you're talking about 11, 12, all the way through to 17, 18?
19, yes.
19. Mm-hmm. And would spend large amounts of time in their lives in those years away from home,
yes,
in an environment that's imposed upon them,
yes,
because that's where they're going to be educated. How do you foster a sense of belonging in a place like that?
Yes, they all look to fit. So we want to fit in to whatever environment we find ourselves. So in a team environment, we want to fit into the team. In a family, we want to fit. In a boarding house, we want to fit. In an occupation, in a workplace, we want to fit. And so they learn to dance, if you like, from one particular type of behaviour that is acceptable in one circumstance to that of another.
But that's adaptation for survival.
Yes,
is that the same as feeling a sense of belonging?
No, not necessarily, but there is some connection there. It's wonderful to see how resilient young people are, and we are resilient, even though, you know, some are better at it than others, how they do fit a particular circumstance. They tend to develop a sense of worth in a belonging sense to the context in which they find themselves. Some take much longer, and some want to do it in a way that it's a look at me way, and others want to just be very careful and just sit outside and just look in and slowly but surely creep in, if you like, and some come in boots first.
And you don't have to be a young person to go through these kinds of pressures.
Not
either.
At all.
I mean, this could be a workplace. It doesn't have to be a boarding school.
No.
But one would imagine, and I've experienced this as someone who often sees themselves as an outsider, which I think to some degrees is helpful in the role I play on the radio.
Yes.
However, what I've found is when you enter, whether it be a school or a workplace or any other kind of situation where humans interact and have been before you get there, that there is a culture established by the people who got there before you, which can actively prevent you from feeling a sense of belonging.
Yes, and that may be deliberate because we have induction processes. So you don't belong, but if you follow this particular process, then you may belong. So it's worthwhile looking at the induction processes, the formal or informal, that exist in any organisation.
But John, I have a problem with this because the way you describe it, it makes it sound like capitulation because I want that sense of belonging to be a personal thing for me where there has been an exchange of nuances and dynamics. So I feel comfortable in this space because I'm accepted, not because I'm being forced to accept what's external. That's not me, for me, a sense of belonging.
No, and that's true. And that's been looked at very closely by all organisations. And Pixar has really looked at it very carefully.
This is the animation studio.
Yes, really looked at it very carefully. And when they employ someone into that organisation, they employ that person as a whole person. So they come in and there's no real induction. They are just welcomed in and then slowly but surely they find their feet within the organisation to be able to express their particular contributions in an uninhibited way. Oh. And it's really, really interesting. There are other institutions that you just have to toe the line. And so they take your individuality from you and you just become almost a non-person, you're just a function.
Well, then that's just harmful and
it
completely
is.
Against what we're discussing, I would suggest. Andrew?
If I think about lots of the people that I see in my therapy room, the conclusion I would come to is that much of our illness is homesickness, that in some ways people become homesick for in times of trouble in their lives. And partly our job is to think about how to regain some of that sense of being at home, whatever home is for that person. And partly it's about broadening your home so that the world becomes, or at least part of that world becomes your home. So it's a development of a broader sense of belonging that builds, takes you from homesickness to being the complete you.
How can we foster, John's given us one example of an animation studio, but how can we foster real, healthy senses of belonging for people?
Well, our homes, for example, are a place where we open the front door, they have to let us in, really, don't they? And so they're the place, ideally, where we belong, where we're accepted, not just for who we are right now. So in a really functional family, you, of course.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Yes, we've come across them.
I think one was cited once in the Congo.
They really have, acknowledgement of your own kind of strengths, but also about who you can be. So we know families, of course, can basically see you in a particular way. You might be the comic of the family, or you might be the entertainer or the serious one. And people get typecast, which is why, of course, when siblings get together and reminisce over their upbringing, they've always had different stories because, of course, they had different roles in their families to play.
Yeah.
They're different, so they have different sense of belonging. But when a family works really well, of course, we see you as you are, as your role is, your preferred role. But we also can see
your preferred role, not their preferred
role. That's right. That's right. But also we can see that you're larger than that and you're going to grow into being whoever you want to be.
Okay. That sounds great. How do we get there?
Well, it means basically having a big world view, not only of the world, but also the role of that family or that tribe within that and the potential of each person. So you want basically, all parents want their children to be happy, of course.
Mm.
And so the biggest predictor of happiness really is being able to create good relationships. That means basically taking on the world and being open to it, not open to other people. To do that, you have to be open about the possibilities within yourself or within your children. And so, when we're not raising children, we're basically watching them develop and evolve more often. And so thinking about parenting is how can I help my son or my daughter to become perhaps even along the journey to where they can be by giving them the support and the sense of belonging that encourages them and to help them to unfold.
Well, if we're talking about family dynamics and that sense of belonging and how important it is to be healthy with each other so they can be healthy about the world they see and interact with, it would therefore stand to reason, stand to sense that as you get older, your sense of belonging may be in a number of places, so that, indeed, you know, you bring that sense of self and security about who you are back to the family as you get older, and saying, this used to be where I only felt I belonged. Now it's a number of other locations as well.
And of course, I think all of us have moments in our lives when there's a knock on the door and suddenly you're out, you know, the job's over, or basically the team splits up or something happens. And
oh, you've worked for the ABC.
And you're kicked into a larger life. So you can either kind of descend into the gloom of what we call liminality, being betwixt and between, being confused, getting depressed about it. And of course, that's a process, of course, that some of us go through from time to time in our life stages. But going through that means that you can then invent a larger and better life. And I think we're all in that business of doing that from time to time. We all have to take the jolts of our lives and look at those as opportunities to develop a larger life, a larger sense of belonging, a larger sense of I can belong in multiple places, as you rightly said.
So that's a good point, isn't it? That sometimes you need to go through a struggle or a challenge to that sense to really appreciate it when it does manifest. And let's hope it does.
Yeah, well, a growth of something new often requires the partial death, at least, of something that was, isn't it? And that can be sad, and we grieve it, and we feel like we don't belong in quite the same way we used to. That's hard for a time. But if you can sit with that and not kind of just see that that's all there's ever going to be, then particularly in the people I work with in therapy, they then grow through that into a new world. That's fantastic to watch.
Where do you feel you belong? Why don't you tell John and Andrew and me? We'd love to know. You can email us, lifematters@abc.net.au, or if you feel braver than that, and I encourage you to be gutsy, then you can always record your feelings on a voice memo by looking for the app on your smartphone and recording your story and then emailing it to the same place. That's lifematters@abc.net.au. John and Andrew, thank you for giving me a sense of belonging with you two. It's been great. We'll catch you soon.
Yeah.